Blog Talk Radio.
Hopefully better than ever. It's another fun filled edition of Sports Urban Legend, along with my co-host Macaulay Matthews. I am, of course, William Memo. What's up, Macaulay?
How's it going?
I'm all right. You know, pumped up. You know.
Yeah, Sunday, big weekend.
You know, WrestleMania in less than an hour.
WrestleMania.
You know, spring training is almost coming to an end.
Yep.
You know, the March Madness is out of control.
Oh, yeah.
No, it's, you know, we're getting close to the spring training. Thank goodness the NBA season's about to end.
For the Knicks and the Nets.
Yeah, mercifully for the Knicks and the Nets. And, of course, we're going to talk about all those stuff. We're gonna kick it off with NBA as the season is winding down. You know, we're going to talk, the hot stove is it's cold already. Spring training is going to wind down in a couple of days. And, of course, the NBA, we're going to talk that. And we're going to also talk about, you know, WrestleMania, as like I just mentioned. And we'll leave the phone lines open for you guys to, you know, talk about whatever you want to talk about. You know, it's sports entertainment. Whatever you guys want to talk about. Another fun fill episode. So without further ado, I guess we'll kick it off with some hoops.
NBA. Knicks? The Knicks or the Nets?
Okay, why not? We're both Knicks fans. Let's.
Because I'd rather talk about the Lakers, I mean. And the Knicks and the Nets.
Dude, I keep it local, but, you know, if the other caller wants to talk Lakers, I mean, they look like they're on the way for another title. So a fan could talk about their potential 18th title. Maybe Jack Nichols, they might call, huh? So who knows? Who knows, like, if a fan want to call in, a Laker fan, talk some smack, go right ahead. But let's kick it off with some Knicks, shall we? Even though there's nothing really to talk about. Of course, the Knicks played in Friday night at Phoenix against the Suns. And let's just say by the time I left, it was 102-72 Suns. And, of course, the Suns blew out the Knicks.
They got their ass whooped. Knicks got their ass whooped, as usual.
But to the credit, the Knicks did beat them this year at MSG.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, both teams took the home field advantage to heart. So the series got split between the Knicks and the Suns.
Yeah, and, you know, the good thing, even though the Knicks, they suck right now and they're not going to make the playoffs, that rookie, Douglas, Tony Douglas, is that his name?
Yeah, Tony Douglas.
He's been playing good, man.
Yeah, and now that you mention, ironically, we got him in the second round by trading $3 million to the Lakers for their 29th pick.
Oh.
And that's how we were able to draft Tony Douglas.
Yeah, this guy looked like he could be a future point guard.
Yeah, I know.
Chris Paul.
What did you say?
We might not even need Chris Paul this season, two seasons, you know, from now.
I'd still take a shot at Chris Paul, but then again, we shall see how Tony Douglas does. I mean, he has been playing well, you know, given the opportunity after the second half.
Yeah.
He's been definitely, you know, scoring 20 points at least. At least 7 games this year, he's averaged 20 points. You know, he's being a better assist. You know, he's becoming a more point. You know, more of a point guard. You know, he's you know averaging close to 7 or 8 assists. You know, lately these past couple of games, so he's been, you know, living up to his potential. And gotta give it up for Gallinari. This guy, he's really elevating his game. You know, in the first half of the season, he was just a three-point specialist. He never, you know, post up. He didn't, you know, go to the free throw line. But the second half, he's been putting on a clinic. You know, he's been posting up. He's been drawing a lot of fouls, shooting a lot of free throws. Being actually demanding D'Antoni that, you know, he wants to defend the best players. And, you know, he's actually starting to block some shots. So, this guy, he's starting to live up to his potential also. And I also read. Oh, what were you saying? I'm sorry.
I was just going to say that, yeah, he looks like he could be the future Dirk Nowitzki. You know, he's a tall guy, can shoot from the outside. And, you know, as he gets older and the more mature, he's just going to become a better player.
Yeah, he's that's exactly the comparisons they were giving Gallinari. When he came out of, you know, the Italian team.
Yeah.
And I was reading this internet report a couple of days ago on Friday that a confidant of LeBron James, of course, the person's nameless, they said that that LeBron's keeping an eye on that kid, which would be referring to Gallinari. I don't know if it's that's true, but you also remember, like, a couple of months ago when Knicks played against Cavaliers at home, they were saying that LeBron was talking to him on the court, you know, pretty much saying, you know, how's his back doing, and, you know, to do exercise so he can strengthen his back. And then now you hear Carmelo Anthony when they had that duel when the Knicks, thanks to Gallinari scoring 17 points in the third quarter alone, you know, they had a duel, and it looked like Carmelo was impressed with him after the game. So it looked like, you know, he might have a shot, you know. Plus, we got the money for the first time. We got cap room, so now it's up to the, you know, hey, Knicks fan, we don't have to be worried about getting a superstar player or two anymore. Now it's up to them to, if they want to try to win a championship with the Knicks, up to them to sign on the dotted line from January, yeah. I mean, rather July.
Yeah, LeBron keeping an eye on Gallinari. I mean, that's a good thing, you know. Maybe that means LeBron's looking at coming to the Knicks. You know, there's an off season and playing with Gallinari. Maybe they could be a tag team duo like Jordan and Pippen were in the 90s. I mean, him keeping an eye on Gallinari, that could be a good thing. Oh, it could also be a gay thing. I mean, why is LeBron watching, even not out for Gallinari? I mean, sounds kind of strange to me.
You would assume he'd be keeping an eye out on the Knicks City dancers?
Yeah.
Well, we don't know LeBron like that, but, I mean, he is I think he has a baby mama and a kid or two.
I mean, keeping an eye out on the kid. That sounds like something a pedophile would say.
Well, Gallinari does look like a kid, but, you know, he is he's like, what, 23, 25 years old?
Yeah.
The guy, you know, he's actually, you know, performing to the, you know, to his potential right now. Hopefully he'll keep it up and we get some wins.
But the season was over, so you could forget about the wins, I mean.
Well, yeah, I know, but, you know, just try to play with some type of heart, you know. I know most of these guys aren't going to be back, but, I mean, you know, the guys, you know, say what you will from the guys from the McGrady trade and the Nate Robinson trade, you know, they've been playing well. I mean, McGrady, I mean, he's been injury-prone for the past 2 years. But, I mean, he's had some games that he contributes. But pretty much his biggest contribution is getting his cap room from the trade. And Bill Walker, you know, he's been playing well. J.R. Giddens, another throwaway in the Nate Robinson trade. You know what's the funny thing about this guy? I mean, he's been playing well also, but the funny thing about this guy is that he got a tattoo of the Celtics logo on his neck. I don't know if you've seen it.
What? Are you serious?
Yeah, I'm serious, man. I'm like, dude, I mean, does this guy think he's Paul Pierce or Kevin Garnett or Larry Bird or something? I mean, dude, you're like a bench dude. I mean,
he just got it.
No, he had it. I'm assuming he had it ever since he was with the Celtics. I don't know why this guy got a tattoo of the Celtics. I mean, it's not like this guy is a franchise player. I mean, if he was a franchise player, I mean, I'd understand, hey, you know, he wants to represent his team because he thinks he's going to retire with the team. But this guy is a bench player. I mean, he looks foolish. He's wearing the Knicks uniform, and he got the Celtic logo right on his neck.
Did he get it before he went to the Celtics?
I'm assuming he had it ever since he was with the Celtics. But
strange.
That is kind of strange. I mean, it's not like this guy's a superstar player that, you know, you know, he thought he's going to have some security, you know. I don't understand if, you know, Jeter had one, you know, with the Yankees, because this guy is going to pretty much start in his career with the Yankees, but.
Yeah.
You don't see Sheffield having stuff like that. He'd have tattoos of the Brewers and the Marlins and the Mets, the Yankees, the Dodgers, you name it. I mean, some of these guys, it's like, I mean, they're journeyman, you know, players. They go to every team.
Yeah.
And this guy, he ain't even a star, let alone a superstar. So I don't see the point of him having, you know, a logo of a team that, you know, your place isn't secured.
I would never do something stupid like that.
I would assume he did this when he was with the Celtics, because if he did that afterwards, that'd be even more weird.
Well, maybe he could have been a fan of the Celtics, you know, growing up. So maybe.
Maybe,
that's why
I mean.
Who knows?
Maybe. But it's just kind of weird, you know.
Yeah.
He's playing for the Knicks. I mean, he got traded to the Knicks. Obviously, it's not like he signed with the Knicks, but
right.
He got traded to the Knicks, and he's wearing the logo of, you know, the enemy of the Knicks.
Man, he better get that tattoo erased.
Yeah, I know. It's weird, man. When they show a close-up of him, you know, of his, you know, them talking to, you know, D'Antoni on the bench, because he did a stupid play on Friday, and got, and what's his name? D'Antoni was yelling at him on the bench. Of course, by that point, Knicks was already trailing by, like, at least 20 by this point. But
and that's strange. I don't get that.
Beats me.
Well, maybe he'll, you know, maybe we'll trade him to back to the Celtics again in offseason. Who knows? And he can enjoy his tattoo, his Celtic tattoo with his Celtic uniform. But he's been playing well too, you know.
Yeah, credit, you know, I give credit to the guys who, you know, who came over in these trades. You know, the you know, the trading deadline trade with you know, the Suns and you know, and Boston. You know, these guys have been playing well.
Yeah.
And hey, maybe these guys, you know, we're gonna need to fill up you know, 8 roster spots altogether, minimum. So, you know, some of these guys might come, you know, send some of these guys back, you know, of course, for lesser money. If they prove themselves worthy, and hopefully we'll sign some D-League players who actually want to play with some heart.
How many wins does the Knicks have right now?
I think they have 25. I think they're still stuck on 25. They're like, I think 25 and 46 or 25 and 47, something like that.
So the chances of the Knicks winning 30 is very slim right now.
Yeah, very slim. They'd have to win, I think, five of their last. They'd have to win half of their games, like 5 of their last 10.
I mean, that could be possible. That's possible.
It's possible, but then again, knowing the Knicks, when you think Knicks are gonna beat on a lower team, you know, they get blown out, and then a good team, they'll be competitive, and afterwards, in the fourth quarter, the best team will, of course, win in the end. But I guess you have to give Knicks credit. They have beat some teams that you didn't expect them to beat, like the Suns at home, Dallas at Dallas. You know, they've had some good wins. But for the most part, these guys, you know, they don't show up. I mean, they get blown out. Then in the fourth quarter, they cut the lead to 1, and then afterwards, you know, the team blows them out again, or Knicks have a huge lead going into the fourth quarter, double digits, and then in the last 5 minutes or less, up to 2 minutes, they blow the lead, and that's all she wrote.
And they also beat the Hawks 3 out of 4 times this year they played them.
Yeah, that is true. And speaking of the Hawks, congratulations to Jamal Crawford. He's close to on his way to his first ever NBA playoff berth.
Yeah.
This guy has played over 700 career games. He's the career active player, you know, with most games without playing in the postseason. Of course, you know, he played with the Bulls, the Knicks, Golden State, and now with Atlanta Hawks.
Yeah, he's a clutch player when he was with the Knicks.
Yeah, I mean, he was the go-to guy who was, you know, who had the guts to take the last shot.
He's still clutch with the. He's clutch right now. He's been playing very good this year with them.
Yeah, I know. I'm just saying, like, when he was with the Knicks, he was the go-to guy, you know, in the clutch.
Yeah.
And Knicks desperately missed that. You know, hopefully they'll address that in the offseason by getting some superstar players. And that's pretty much what's happening with going on with our crosstown team. Or cross-state team, if you want to be critical. Our interstate rival. Well, not really interstate. Tri-state, you know, the Nets I'm talking about. Well, you know, Nets, they traded away Cade couple of years ago, they traded away Richard Jefferson. And last year, they traded away, in the offseason, they traded away Vince Carter. And ever since then, they had no go-to, they had no go-to guy to you know, to score the last shot, you know. And as a result, they've tied the lowest winning in NBA history with 9 wins. But they have a couple of games to go. They have some games, like 9 games to go. So to avoid, they just won 1 away from avoiding the record.
Yeah, I honestly thought that they were going to break the record, but they proved me wrong.
Yeah, they're 1 win away from
winning more than 10 games, you know.
Yeah, it looks like I might have been right that they're going to win 13, but...
Nah, they're not going to win 13. I doubt that. I think they're going to probably 11.
Yeah, that's more realistic.
13 is too much.
Yeah, because they finally won back-to-back games.
Yeah.
First time all year.
How many wins do they have right now? 10?
They have 9. If they get their 10th win, they avoid the record. If they lose all their games straight, then they will tie the record.
Oh, okay. And you think they could win 13, so they have to win 4 more games.
Yeah.
And they only have like 9 games left or something, so I think that's impossible for them to do. That's a hot streak for them. They haven't had a hot streak all year.
They won 2 in a row, so for them that's a hot streak.
Yeah, but you know, that's nothing. Show me that. They have to show me that they're going like 3 in a row or 4 in a row.
Yeah. True, but they don't even need to win 3 in a row. All they need to do is just win 1 game, and they won't tie the record.
They already tied the record, didn't they?
No, they tied it for the most wins. The season is still going on.
For the fewest wins, you mean?
Yeah, they tied the record for the wins. The lowest amount of wins, but they still have 9 games to go, so they could, you know, all they have to do is win 1 more game and they avoid the record.
Well, they're not going to set the record anyway.
Unless they lose every game.
No, They already tied it, so there's no way they could break it now.
Well, yeah, but they could tie it. The worst thing they could do is tie it. And it was, like you said, they tied it, right. They tied the wins. But they'd have to lose every single game for them to, you know, tie the record, the overall record.
Right.
Wins and losses.
But there's no way they could break it because, you know, they already tied it, so.
Yeah, they won their first game after Kiki Vandeweghe came back from his mother's funeral, who was, I think, a former Miss USA. And they won on the road against the Kings, I believe.
Right.
And then they won the next game after that. What did you say?
They've been playing better.
Yeah. They got 2 in a row, and their center, Sharon Leon, pardon if I mispronounced the name wrong, which I most likely did. And Brook Lopez, those guys, for that one game alone, they look like they were the Twin Towers.
Yeah, Brook Lopez, he's gonna be a good center in the future.
Yeah, he was in the same draft with Gallinari.
Although I think Gallinari is gonna be better, but
I agree with that. Well, hopefully Knicks will address they do need to get a dominant center, you know. I know the league isn't as, you know, dependent on centers as they used to be, but clearly championship caliber teams, you know, you need that dominant guy in the paint to, you know, kick the ball out to and, you know, score down low. But I hope Knicks will address that need. Yeah, hopefully Knicks will address that need. Because you obviously can't count on Eddie Curry to be that.
And Eddie Curry's not even in the building anymore.
He's still picking up checks. He still comes by to pick up his check.
You never see the guy.
Well, yeah, that's true. mean, you see him on the bench sometimes.
Sometimes.
Yeah, sometimes, exactly. Man, he's almost as bad as Jerome James. Remember a couple of years ago? This guy, man.
Yeah.
This guy was making $5 million. You know how many minutes this guy played all year, like 3 years ago?
Who?
5 minutes. $1 million a minute this guy was making. The whole year, this guy. This guy only played literally 5 minutes. I kid you not, ladies and gentlemen. And if there's any Knicks fans listening out there, they will verify this for me. Check out the stats, man. It's right there. This guy played only 5 minutes.
Still a whole lot of money.
That 1 year, this guy was making $5 million. This guy was a joke, man. We signed Isaiah Thomas signed this guy to like a 5 year, $30 million contract. And just because this guy scored 12 points and like 5 or 6 rebounds in the postseason.
So this guy basically made $1 million every minute.
They're pretty much, man. Shoot, I wish I had that deal.
Messed up.
Shoot, if Isaiah gave me that contract, this would be my last show right here.
Yeah, I'll take that. 5 minutes for $5 million, I'll take that.
Man. But thank goodness, after the draft, and hopefully we get some superstar players on the Isaiah/James Dolan. We're still gonna have that guy. I'm trying to think. Who's the guy I'm thinking of? It's Scott Layden.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Especially at the end of this year, the Scott Layden, even though he's been gone for like 5 years or so. And that Isaiah Thomas's reign of terror will officially be over.
Ah, thank goodness.
Once we get rid of these, the draft, the NBA draft is over, and you know the lottery, we find out who wins the draft, whether it's Utah, hopefully not, or the Nets, or some other team.
Yeah.
Well, we shall see. You pumped up about switching gears here. You pumped up for the 09 season, or 010 season, I should say, about you guys, the Yankees, defending your title?
Yeah, well, talking about the Yankees, I was just watching a preview on YES a couple of hours ago on the Yankees this upcoming 2010 season, man.
And, of course, they picked the Yankees to finish in last place, as usual.
No. Well, I don't know. Well, they didn't really do any picks. I don't think so. They're just like analyzing the roster and just talking about last season, talking about what's good, you know, what to expect for this upcoming season. And Hughes was just announced as the fifth starter, you know, for the rotation. And it looks like Java's going to be coming out of the bullpen, which is appropriate because, I mean, that's perfect role for him because, you know, he's better as a setup guy than as a starter because he hasn't been pitching good in that starting rotation. So,
congratulations to the Yankees. It literally took them practically 3 years to realize that Jabba Chamberlain could have stayed in the, you know, in the setup role or in the bullpen at least.
Yeah, so it looks like he'll be setting up Mariano.
Even a mess around was saying this. And now they finally doing
it. Everybody was saying it.
True. Even I was saying that, and I don't even. Let's just say I'm not. You know, I'm not a cheerleader for you guys.
Well, yeah. But yeah, he's probably gonna. If Mariano ever retires, he's probably gonna be our next great closer.
He's on track to being the heir apparent yet again, for Mariano Rivera.
Yeah.
Which he should have been before, but then the stupid Jabba rules, you know, messing the guy up, you know, making him a starter, and then the worst thing about it was last July when they took they made the guy a starter, but the problem is they only made him go for the pitch count was like 48 to 60 pitches, and it didn't matter how good the guy was throwing, they'll pull the guy out. And then afterwards, you know, the media is like, oh, this guy. It was like in August or September. They're like, oh, it hasn't been since July since Jabba Chamberlain has, you know, won that game. Well, obviously, yeah, because the guy is a starter. You don't let him go at the minimum of five innings to qualify for a win. So, of course, the guy's not going to win anything.
Yeah.
And some Yankee fans were saying, this is a good idea. And I never saw I thought the whole idea was idiotic. I mean, I understand that, you know, they wanted to preserve his arm and everything, but come on. The guy is a starter. You have to let the guy pitch at least five innings so he could try to have a chance to win.
Well, I was one of those Yankee fans that wanted to see him pitch because, you know, they said that he was he could be a great starting pitcher. I mean, the guy is a starting pitcher when he's in the minors. So, you know, I wanted to see how he would pitch when he started for us, but it didn't turn out. Things didn't turn out good. So, looks like he's going back to the bullpen where he's more suitable.
I understand that, but I thought they should have kept him in the bullpen, but I mean, if they want to experiment to see if he could have pitched as a starter, I mean, fine, you know, that's no problem. But for you to make the guy a starter and then you baby the guy to the point that he can't go five innings. You know, the guy goes one inning, you pull him out. The guy goes three innings at maximum, and then they take the guy out.
Yeah.
So how is the guy gonna have a shot to pitch as a starter if the guy can't even go five innings with a tie or a lead?
Yeah, that's true.
And especially with the Yankees' offense, I mean, you know, they should have left the guy in.
Yeah, that's true.
But
that was Yaba's fault, though. Yaba did some of his outings weren't good.
Well, yeah.
He pulled out a lot of those games early.
Oh, yeah, I totally agree with that. Yaba was throwing a no-hitter. Yeah, but, you know, they should have at least gave the guy, you know, if they were so concerned about his pitch count and his, you know, him getting hurt, they shouldn't have took him out of the bullpen and, you know, made him a starter, but not let him pitch five innings.
Yeah.
But he's never going to win if you don't let him go five innings as a starter. But you guys don't have to worry about that anymore because it took Yankees 3 years to finally get it right. So Yaba's back where he belongs.
Yeah, and I like him in a bullpen role, you know.
Yeah, the guy had more passion as a bullpen guy.
Yeah, he's more fiery. His stuff is more electric.
Well, he loves rubbing in the fans of, you know, the face of, you know, the opponents when he strike them out. He does like that duck waddle,
taking
I don't know what the heck taking bake, whatever the heck you want to call it. His gyrations he does.
Yeah, I love it.
Well, yeah, I mean, hey, I was a Yankee fan. I love it too.
Yeah, man. But, so I'm gonna. I can't wait, man.
Yeah,
2010 season is gonna be. I think it's gonna be. I don't think it's gonna be as great as last season was. You know, but I think it'll be fun to watch again.
So you put the Yankees will defend their title.
Hey, I gotta always remain positive. I expect that, you know. I can't say I expect them to lose. Well, I gotta be optimistic about my team. Yeah, I expect them to defend the title.
So you think they will win?
Hey, why not? We proved it last year. Why not say this year? Yeah. But Red Sox are tough, though. Red Sox are gonna be tough. They got Lackey. They got Adrian Beltre, and didn't they get another hitter?
Mike Cameron.
Oh, yeah, Mike Cameron, right. So they're going to be tough, man, as always, so.
Yeah, they're always a tough team.
Battle for the division.
So who do you think will win the division? Who will win the wild card?
I think Yankees will win the division. I think Red Sox will win the wild card.
Yeah, I agree with that.
And the potentially Red Sox, Yankees, ALCS again. Yeah.
As usual. Like the 180th time, it seems.
Yeah. So we shall see what happens.
All right, let's go over to the NL East. What are your thoughts on the Mets?
Well, still some holes in that starting rotation for you guys.
Absolutely, especially behind Johan Santana.
Yeah, I mean Santana's a big guy. He's a big guy in that starting rotation, and everybody else is a question mark.
Absolutely.
And I hear your boy Reyes, he's going to come back very soon.
Yeah, hopefully he'll make it in time for, you know, opening day because he hasn't played any spring training games. Each day he doesn't play on the, you know, in the, a spring training game, that lessens the shot that he's going to be ready for opening day, which is April 15th. I mean, April 5, I should say.
Yeah, when he does come back, he'll be batting third in the lineup.
Well, it's a possibility, but now Jerry Manuel was saying that right now it looks like he's leaning towards leaving him at the leadoff spot until further notice. But like Jerry Manuel said afterwards, he said, "Man, I'm gonna change on you. You know me, guys. I'm gonna change on you guys." So he always leaves that option that he might change his mind. So. Look out.
He's not gonna be batting third. He's gonna be in a leadoff spot. That's what he said.
He's gonna be in leadoff right now, but Jerry Manuel might change his mind.
Oh. Because I've been hearing over the past few days he's gonna be batting third.
Yeah, wow. But right now he's right now leaning towards putting him in the leadoff because the guy missed a lot of time. Give him a little familiarity.
Oh.
To the lineup, which. Like, that's what Mets should have did before, because this guy is the best leadoff hitter in the game when he's healthy, so
right. Leave
him in. And by you putting him in third, that limits the chances that he's going to steal, because there's going to be people in front of him, and that's also going to limit the runs that Reyes scores, you know, after getting a base hit or a stolen base, a wild pitch, you know, the guy, you take away the electricity that, you know, in his game, because, you know, he's the spark plug of the team. Or like Johan Santana said, he's Reyes is the heart of the team. So you need that guy to ignite the offense and the whole team.
Yeah, I mean, the guy, when he bats leadoff, he gets triples, gets base hits. He scares defenses, so... Yeah, he's definitely an igniter for the offense, and you know the guy's exciting to watch when he's playing. And so when he didn't play last season for the Mets, you saw what happened. But the Mets went in the tank early.
Yeah, hopefully. And all these injuries. And can you believe that 20 of the 25 man roster were at one point on the DL?
Yep.
I mean, that's unbelievable. That is unprecedented right there.
And, you know, as much as Reyes is a big part of the offense, Beltran is a big part of the offense, too, and he's going to be out for a little while.
Oh, yeah, by May at least. Optimistically, he'll be out until May, but you don't know how long this is, you know, going to affect the guy.
Yeah.
According to him, he's going to, you know, he's going to work on, you know, becoming stronger, you know, working on, you know, building muscle, you know, stuff that he doesn't usually work on because, you know, he's usually just focusing on his, you know, baseball activities, you know, to, you know, strengthen his, I guess, his legs and, you know, whatever he does, you know, to get himself ready for the game. You know, he's not hitting. He's not clear to hit, you know, because of a knee injury. So he's focusing on making his body stronger.
How do you think the new Met, what's his name?
Jason Bay,
right. I forgot his name for a while there.
Mm-hmm.
How do you think he's going to perform this year with you guys?
I think he'll do pretty good. I mean, the guy, he has legitimate power.
Mm-hmm.
Should definitely Fenway did definitely help them out. You know, the left field of... Fenway definitely did help them out, you know, with the offense. But the guy, you know, closing Mets did their research. They checked, you know, this guy, he has, like, Adam Dunn power that he could hit home runs, you know, everywhere, you know, he goes to. Unlike, you know, David Wright. David Wright's more of a, you know, he's a right field, center field guy at Shea, but at Citi Field, a lot of balls guy out there. So, and if you remember David Wright at Shea, you know, he, like I said, he's a center field, hit the ball center field, right center field, around those areas. Right. And his home runs just go out. I mean, looking back, you can't really think of a bomb that David Wright hits. I mean, this is not Piazza. You know, his home runs just go over the wall. And now that they push the walls back in Citi Field, you know, plus he was tinkering with his batting stance. You know, that's what led to him only hitting 10 home runs and 5 on the road and 5 at home. So hopefully he will rebound, which I think he definitely will, but we shall see.
Yeah,
and what's your pick? Who you think will win the NL Wild Card and NL East?
Man. You know, with the NL East, I gotta go with the Phillies, man, because they just went to the World Series again last year. It's hard. You can't pick against them not winning it again this time. Especially now that they have Ron Halladay, you know.
Yeah, but they did give up Cliff Lee.
Well, I mean, yeah, but Halladay is way better than Cliff Lee.
Well, yeah, absolutely. But then again, this is the first time Roy Halladay has ever been in a postseason, you know, a team that, you know, a World Series contending team like the Phillies.
But Cliff Lee, didn't he just get injured or something?
Yeah, he sure did. He's most likely going to start the year on the DL.
Yeah, that's bad.
Yeah, if I was the Phillies, I would have kept all three, but they're thinking that Cliff Lee would get, you know, paid a lot of money, which, you know, most likely he would, and they didn't think they'd be able to afford his contract, so they traded him away.
I mean,
but
it would have been it would have been great if they could have kept all three. But hey, you still got Halladay. I mean, this guy's amazing. So he didn't really lose that much.
Well, yeah, I agree with that. But then again, you got to see if Roy Halladay could adapt, you know, with a more rabid fan base. But we shall see.
Yeah,
Roy Halladay is one of the best. The best, if not the second best pitcher in the game. I mean, it's a debate between him, Santana, and you could even throw Lincecum into that mix.
Yeah.
But, logically speaking, you know, it would be the Phillies, since Phillies have been three-time NL East champions since 2006. They've went to the World Series back-to-back years, and they won it in 2008. So, logically speaking, they are the favorite to win the NL East. But you know what? You got to believe, and I'm picking the Mets to take back their division title in the NL East.
Okay.
Mets will be back. Phillies will be the wild card. Will the NL East be tough as usual? Yes, it will be. But Mets will be back on top. Believe
that. There were rumors that Ryan Howard was going to be traded for Pujols.
Yeah, but it looks like they both shut that down.
Oh, that would have been crazy right there if the Phillies could have got Pujols.
Yeah, but I wouldn't do this. I mean, I know Pujols is a much better player, but I mean, other than the offense, you know, the batting average, and you know, it's. You know, they're pretty much similar players.
Well, Pujols is slightly better, though. I mean, Reinhardt
tends
to strike out a lot.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. You know, Ryan Howard, I mean, he does strike out like 140-something times a year.
Yeah.
And Pujols, I mean, this guy is like a modern-day Joe DiMaggio, man. I mean, this guy, you know, he hits like 30-something home runs, 30 to 40 home runs, knocking over like close to 150 RBIs. This guy strikes out less than 100 times, you know, a game. So, I mean, this guy, trust me, I mean, Albert Pujols, and I mean, Albert Pujols is a way better player than Ryan Howard, but Howard ain't no slouch either.
Oh yeah, definitely. But Pujols, I mean, he has a high batting average. He just has more. He's a much better hitter than Howard is.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Oh, absolutely. There is no debating that.
He has a better eye.
If I was Phillies, I'd do it. But if I was Cardinals, I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't do the trade.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, sure, they're both great players. I mean, they're both off to, dare I say, Hall of Fame, closer, you know, near Hall of Fame stats if they have another 5 years of what they're doing. I mean, Pujols alone, I think Pujols is a shoo-in. I mean, this guy, since 2001, this guy's not practically every year he's hit over 30 home runs and 100 RBIs. So only maybe a handful of players in the history of the game have produced more than Pujols.
Pujols looks like a guy that doesn't slow down very soon, though, to me. I think he's just slow down in maybe 5 years or so.
Well, he's human. He has to slow down eventually. I mean, this guy's been on a Hall of Fame tear, man. I mean, looks like every time you watch a sports highlight show, he hits a home run or a walk-off hit. I mean, this guy is impressive, man. He is, no doubt about it, the best player in the game.
Oh, yeah. And when the guy hits, he looks like he's sitting on the floor almost.
Yeah, man. It's kind of reminiscent to, like, kind of like Jeff Bagwell.
Yeah.
He looks like he's sitting on a rocking chair, and, you know, he just, all that upper body strength, man, he just hit the ball out like that.
I don't know how these guys do it.
Who do you think will win the NL wild card?
I have no idea. Tough right now.
I bet I know what team you're going to say. You want me to guess?
What?
I bet you're going to say the Dodgers.
No, I think the Dodgers are going to win the West. But for wild card team, I have no idea. I don't know, the Giants?
I mean, they do have the pitching.
Yeah, I have no idea who. It's a toss-up right now in the National League.
Yeah.
Because right now, the National League is the more inferior league right now. Oh, well, they've been in the inferior league for the last, 15 years or so? Would you say?
Well, you're of course, referring to the wild card, to the All-Star game.
Well, I'm talking for overall. The three World Series titles in the last 15 years or something?
Let me think. Cardinals won in 06.
2006.
Phillies in 08.
Right.
Let me think. D-backs won in 01. Marlins won in 03. Two was Angels. Five was... White Sox? No, wait. The five was White Sox. You might have a point there.
It's 14. Okay, 14 in the last 15 years.
It's been Marlins twice. Cardinals one time. Phillies in 08. Yeah, I said about four.
The D-back, yeah. And, you know, they've been getting killed in these All-Star games also, so, I mean... National League hasn't been doing well against the American League.
I think there's more parity in the National League. That's why you see, you know, there's, you know, other than the Cardinals and the Dodgers. I mean, it's like a crapshoot who's gonna come out of the NL.
Yeah.
You know? The AL is like it's pretty much you can pencil in the same. It's like rinse and repeat. Every year you're gonna put Yankees and Red Sox in the ALCS. You got the Angels in the West.
Yeah.
You got you know The only team, the only division that seems more competitive would be the AL Central, with the Tigers. Well, not the Tigers. I mean, years ago the Tigers, you could put them in there, but you know, the Twins and the White Sox.
Yeah.
Those teams usually fight it out. And Yankees, I mean, Yankees and Red Sox, I mean, those guys, I mean, it don't matter who's first place. I mean, because both guys are, they're both going to go into ALCS most likely anyway.
Yeah, they're powerhouses, you know?
Yeah. Neither of those teams have to worry about trying to go to the postseason.
And the NL is a crapshoot, you know, I can't really give you,
yeah.
I can't really tell you who's going to win the wild card.
Yeah, absolutely. I guess we'll.
It comes. Is it to come down to the last few weeks of the season anyway to determine
yeah.
National League Walker?
Yep. I think the Phillies will win it.
Oh, and you think your guys doing the NL East, right?
Yep.
Okay.
Call me biased, but I gotta believe.
Yeah, you gotta be optimistic about the team, you know.
I think you know they're starting to get that camaraderie that they haven't had in the, you know, since 06. So, and those guys are, you know, they have a lot to prove. But then again, we've been saying this since they collapsed in, you know, in the NLCS against the Cardinals. And every year we've been saying they have something to prove, and every year they just keep getting worse and worse. But,
right.
Hey, one of these years eventually, whether, you know, you know, and the Met haters out there, you know, Mets will one day get the title back, and they will be three-time world champion Mets one day. Whether it's this year, next year, or 5 years from now, Mets will be world champions yet again.
Gotta believe.
What are your thoughts on that?
Mets saying. Gotta believe.
Yep. And I'm speaking of that, I was pretty PO'd that Phillies was using our slogan from 73 as their rallying cry.
What slogan?
You gotta believe.
Oh, they were using that?
Yes, man. They were using our slogan.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, man. You want me to tell you why? Because Doug McGraw, you know, the legendary Met closer who led the Mets to the first ever World Series championship, and he was the closer of the NLCS champions Mets of the 73. He got traded to the Phillies in the 70s, and then he led them to the World Series in 1980. So I'm assuming that's the reason why they're jumping on. They're stealing our slogan that Tug McGraw used as a Met,
what the hell?
And they're using that as a rally cry for the 08 team, because of course Phillies don't have nothing else. They're so obsessed with the Mets, you know, they can't think of their own slogan. They can't say "Let's go, Philly fanatics! Come on, fanatics! Let's go! Let's beat the fans up outside! Hooray!" Then they come up with something more original.
Oh, that's crazy.
How do you feel if you know, if Red Sox when they won the World Series, they were saying "Yankees, let's get behind because they're the Yankees." Or they play "Ding, ding, 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 ding." How would you feel if they robbed your stuff?
We'd beat their asses. We'd go to the Red Sox bars and beat their asses.
Well, hopefully Mets will do it this year. But quickly, with 7 minutes, let's give a little, you know, let's talk a little bit about WrestleMania since that's about to come on in 7 minutes from now.
Yeah, I'll probably watch it. I don't know if I'm going to, I'm going to be busy doing some other stuff, so I might take a look at it. Are you gonna watch it?
Yeah, I'm gonna check it out.
It's gonna be it looks like it's gonna be a very good WrestleMania.
Yeah. The marquee match is of course the Shawn Michaels versus Undertaker match. And also
yeah.
The Bret versus Vince. But then again, you know, those guys are over 50, so that match could be a disaster, but because of the history behind it. It has potential to be one of the, you know, to be one of the most, you know, interesting matches, you know, of the night. And that also says something about the world heavyweight and the the WWE title. I mean, they both have interesting matchups with, you know, Edge trying to regain the title again against Jericho, his former tag team partner. And you got John Cena versus Batista.
I think, like I told you last night, I think John Cena's going to win that, of course, as expected.
Yeah, as expected, John Cena will win again.
Yeah. I'm not going to be surprised if he wins it, trust me.
Yeah. I hope Batista keeps it. I mean, this is the first time he won the WWE title. I mean, he's pretty much won the World Heavyweight title, like, 5 times or so.
Yeah. I mean, I could be wrong. There could be a lot of upsets tonight. You never know.
Yeah. But I'm assuming that Sheamus is going to beat Triple H.
Oh, yeah, that's
that. Triple H, after that, Triple H will turn heel. And, like, the rumors go, maybe screw the Undertaker. Triple H might screw that Undertaker versus, you know, Shawn Michaels match.
Right.
If that rumor is true.
What's the match that you're looking forward to? What's the one match that you're really looking forward to tonight?
It would be the Shawn Michaels versus Undertaker.
That match would be, yeah. Because I want to see if Shawn Michaels could win, but I don't think he's going to win.
Yeah. And another match would be the Undertaker versus, the Bret versus Vince, because it'd be interesting to see if Bret will get his revenge.
Right, yeah.
But there's rumors that, you know, since this most likely won't be the last night of Bret, maybe he might lose tonight and then start a feud, but hopefully they won't do that.
If he loses to Vince, man, I'm going to throw a shoe at the TV. Throw my sandal at the TV.
For real. Give the guy a chance to win. Seriously. This is what the fans want to see.
And like I told you last night, I hope he comes out with his old clothes. But you said he's too fat now to be
wearing his old clothes. This report I was reading on the internet, they were saying, like, he's most likely not going. He said that, you know, it's a new chapter in his life. You know, he's not going to wear it. But we shall see. Hopefully, the rumor is wrong.
Yeah, I want to see him in his pink and black tights. Even though he's fat now. It's going to be an action-packed WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Definitely going to take a look at it.
Yeah, and the Money in the Bank match, hopefully with 10 people, it'll be interesting. Because that's just too many people. I mean, we were talking about it yesterday, and we couldn't even remember Evan Bourne and Matt Hardy was in the match. I mean, there's like... Usually there's 10 people in the match. I mean, 8 people. This year it's like 10, but it seems like it's like 55 people. It seems like it's the Royal Rumble. It has more people than the Royal Rumble in that match.
Yeah, it is the Royal Rumble.
It's ridiculous. I mean, I'm expecting Christian to win, but I can see them shocking and making maybe Drew McIntyre, or maybe even Jack Swagger, you know, win. I'm hoping either Christian or MVP wins.
Yeah, I think Swagger's gonna win it.
And I think Edge will win the title from Jericho.
Yeah, me too.
I prefer to see Jericho hold on to it, but. Well, any final thoughts, my friend?
Hey, I hope it's a good WrestleMania tonight.
Also tonight. I want to thank the listeners out there, you know, for listening to the show another week. Thanks, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you, Macaulay, for coming on to the show.
No problem. All
right, with that, have a great weekend, everybody. See you later.